This message entitled The Journey Continues was delivered to Christ Our Rock Bible Church on January 1st, 2023 by the Reverend Roy D. Warren Jr. The scripture reference starts in Matthew 2, verse 13.
Praise God. So have your Bibles ready. We'll be getting into a good bit of this particular chapter, Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 23. The journey continues. One morning, about 2 o'clock a.m., I received a phone call from the local hospital. We've got an emergency here, and the family has requested your presence. I'll be right there, I sleepily replied, because it was middle of the night. I immediately went to the hospital and looked up the distressed family. Our mother is terribly ill. Will you please pray for her? The family requested. So I put on the isolation clothes and the little cloth booties that they give you, paper booties, really, the mask, and you know the drill, all of the stuff. It was all over on the cupboard outside that particular hospital room. And then I went in to give her Jesus and to pray for her. Afterward, I did ask the family why they called me. They had already told me that they were members of another church just down the street. The son answered, he said, well, we felt we really needed the presence of a minister, but we did not want to bother our pastor at this time of night. And we especially didn't want him exposed to hepatitis. Now, I got to be perfectly honest with you about it. This particular story is a true story, but it didn't happen to me. Okay? It didn't happen to me. But I can guarantee, throughout my 41 years of ministry, I truly identify with every single detail of this encounter. This has happened numerous times, okay, throughout the years. It has all happened at one time or another. In fact, as I was jotting this stuff down and getting this ready by way of typing, okay, very similar scenarios lay gently on my mind. In other words, I could think of there was this time and there was this time. Now, do I remember every detail about it? Do I remember necessarily people's names? No, it's happened so often that it just is there on your mind. Okay? So I can also honestly say that, this is time for full disclosure because I want to make it clear that that particular story didn't happen to me personally, but the facts of that story happened to me many, many times. Okay? And I can honestly say that on all of these occasions, I did go back home, I did go ahead and get back into bed, and feeling rather humbled because I knew our God is in control. This has happened in hospitals, this has happened in nursing homes, and I go back home and I think through the thing, and it's like, God planned that. God gave that truth, a time of truth sharing, a time of truth giving. I've always felt that the main consideration is to show the love of Christ, okay? Not to impress people, not to impress them, but to make very, very clear, as Jesus once said concerning himself, in John chapter 14, verse 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And praise God, everyone in this world must decide what they are going to do with this Jesus. That's how important it is. This is so true. Everybody's got to decide what they're doing with Jesus. And all the more reason why the true church has to be out there giving Jesus. Because there's a whole lot of people out there that are going to have to decide, what am I going to do with Jesus? All right? I think that's crucial. Praise the Lord. We're getting, you know, we just now came into January, but, you know, before you know it, we're going to be pushing our way into February as well. Right? And as we move in that direction, okay, there's a dual focus in February of the love of God. And by dual focus, I mean there are two main things that happen that are a focus in February. And we're getting to them. There was one of our hymns that says, the days are rolling along. And I meant to mention it to you, but I don't want to interrupt everything I'm trying to share, whether it's a poem or a hymn or whatever, but it made it clear that the days are rolling right along. All right? Well, what do you got in February? Well, on the 14th, you've got Valentine's Day, right? Focusing on love. But there's also the beginning of the season of Lent. Happens, I believe, on the 22nd. Of February. A dual focus, okay? The love of God has got to be at the forefront of our minds. And there are things we got to be thinking about these things because it's not just going to go away, for one thing. God wants us to be understanding that He has put things in our path. And here we got January. Then we got February, then we got other months coming up after that. Lord willing, okay? And I think one of the most important things is to recognize that the love of God must be at the forefront of our minds no matter what holiday it is and no matter what part of the month we're talking about, okay? And gently on our minds. That's how loving God is. He places that gently on our minds, like I said earlier. I think one of the most powerful illustrations of this actually comes from something that we just came through. As we move into the future, there's always something in what we've just come through that is intended by God to speak something powerfully, okay? And that's the Christmas season itself. Now, there's something that has been here during the Christmas season that is going to do that for us as we move forward. And it's, quite frankly, the journey continues. You'll remember that when we were in the Christmas season and we saw everything, really, the Zechariah and Elizabeth and angels coming to, you know, to Zechariah and to Mary and to, you know, all along it was and, all the way through the story. There was at least one and in every verse. There was one verse that had four ands in it. Four ands. Okay? And all of that is showing us you take this step and this step and this step and so forth. Okay? Praise God. And literally, I highlighted them. I had them in my Bible, and I went through with a pink magic marker and highlighted them all. Since then, I found at least three or four more that I didn't spot, and I have to go back and highlight those too. Then when I hold it up to you and show you, you can see all those pink dots. And we did that at least a couple of times, and I did it at the nursing homes too. And I showed them, you see every one of these pink dots? That's an and. And this, and that. One step after the other, okay? We highlighted all that, literally and figuratively. All the ands we found in Luke chapter 2 and how they spoke of a step-by-step journey to Bethlehem and, of course, the birth of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. But there's that contrastive conjunction, right? The other conjunction is an and, but now all of a sudden there's this but. I mean, even in what we're talking about here, but the trek wasn't over at that time. It's important for us to understand. It didn't end at Christmas. Nothing ended at Christmas. Christmas was the beginning, prophesied since the very beginning. Amen? It was not the end. Glory to God. King Herod's massacre, now listen carefully to this. King Herod's massacre of the babies in Bethlehem emphatically revealed, now listen carefully and don't say, no, it doesn't. No, listen carefully. Emphatically revealed the love of God. The love of God. For one thing, God would step in and save his own son. And by the way, the other babies that didn't survive the event, heaven immediately. How is that a bad thing? I mean, oh yes, a lot of grief, and the parents would cry. There's no doubt about this, okay? But let's see God for who he really is. God had a purpose even for difficult things. Listen, we wrote that Advent devotional booklet about that. It was about that. It was God stepping in to every one of those parts of the story and revealing his miraculous love even in the difficult things. Okay? It's not just the easy things. It's in every aspect of life. Okay? So, emphatically revealed, that massacre emphatically revealed the love of God. Now listen, and for God. And for God. And what I mean by that is in the hearts of Joseph and his bride, Mary. Praise God. They would experience the love of God. Even in that, because God was going to, in a very miraculous way, save his own son. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 2, and if you're there, take a look at it. Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. Behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. When you hear from me, then it's time to go. Okay? Until I bring you word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And when he arose, that is Joseph, by the way, the Bible makes clear, he didn't wait till his alarm clock went off. Okay? He didn't wait till it was morning. In the middle of the night, whoosh, packs everything up and gets moving. Why? Because he wants to immediately be obedient to what God is saying. And when he arose, right there, right now, he took the young child and his mother by night. See, they didn't wait till daytime. By night, and departed unto Egypt. And was there, in Egypt, that is, until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Hosea, I believe, is where it's at. Out of Egypt I have called my son. Yes, the journey continued. Praise God. As does the journey for all of us. All right? From the day or night, if it were that for you, you know, when we are born again, until the exact moment we actually change addresses. Now, what am I talking about? Well, Billy Graham had something that he liked to say about that. He referred to that going home, that going to be with the Lord, as him changing addresses. Okay? Change of address. And praise God, what a time that is. Did I say there's no grief involved? Listen, these babies, they got run through. Many died that night. All right? It's a grievous thing. It's a hard thing. It's a difficult thing. But praise God, if they didn't already know it, they would soon come to know it, that immediately that young life is in the arms of Jesus, in heaven, in the arms of God, maybe makes it clear, because Jesus as a human being is still a baby at this time himself, okay? So they're with God, all right? Now, there are a lot of people in these days that are working towards a different destination, however. There's no doubt about that. Much of the world is trying to get further away from God, not closer. You can see it. You can see it in the news reports and the things people are doing and saying and everything else. They're trying to get about as far away as they can from God and his ways. Well, there's a pastor who lives down south. He's, I think of him as a younger fella, but I've seen pictures of him recently, and he's got a few years on him. Some of us do. All right? He's probably about my age or somewhere around that, maybe a little younger. His name is Edwin Young, Pastor Edwin Young, and he puts it this way. The words God gave them over to a reprobate mind, which was used by Paul in talking about people that have turned their back on God, okay, altogether, are the most frightening in all of Scripture, he says. That God gave somebody over to what's called a reprobate mind, okay? Now, when Paul uses those words, he means that God eventually allows people to pursue their desires with no interference from him. Oh, he has tried. He has tried. He has given the truth. He has given direction. He has given, 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 given. But there does come a point, okay, when it's done. There comes a point when it's over. Now, I don't know when that's going to be for any given person, okay? Other people do not know when that is. Some people think they do, you know. They go, well, you're going to go, you know. And they come up with all these, their own judgments on things. But there does come a time when God says enough is enough. Okay? The rebellious heart becomes so seared by sin that God's kindness and mercy can no longer be felt. Now, I can illustrate this, believe it or not, of all things, I can illustrate this with picturing the Niagara River. Now, you know what I'm talking about? That's the river that eventually leads over to Niagara Falls. You knew that. You're just being quiet, okay? Niagara River, okay? All right. It is somewhat placid, that is calm, okay, upstream. But as the river moves towards the falls, it becomes fast and furious, okay? It's a slope, and it's heading towards this falls, okay? And as the water crashes over the falls, it can be quite deadly. There have been, I believe, some people who have survived it. They put themselves in barrels, and they get it all padded, and they get it, you know. And over they go, and boom, they miss the rocks or something, and they survive. There's probably been a few people like that. But imagine, if you will, four people now. Now, this is just a story. I'm making it up, okay? Are you ready? Imagine in your own minds four people in a fishing boat, okay, held in the placid waters upstream, in the calm waters, okay, by a good, strong rope. And the other end of that rope is in the hand of God. The boat's out there, and this rope is tied to it, and God's got his hand on that rope. And he's keeping them up in the safer area of the stream, okay? Once again, it's not a true story. I'm, you know, just making it up, so to speak. Now, God might say at this point, he says, okay, I can give you a little slack because it's quite placid up here, quite safe, okay, just so you can see what you will do with it. If I give you some slack, I want you to see what you can do with it, okay? So he does. Gives them a little bit more slack. Not a lot, but some, all right? But as they come into faster waters, God tightens his hold on that rope. I mean, you could almost feel it if you were holding on to the other end, but they're not holding on to the other end. The rope is tied to the boat, okay? And God, like, tightens his hand around this rope, okay? In the faster waters. And God tightens his hold on the rope and warns them, hey, it's getting dangerous. This is getting dangerous. But the boaters resist. They don't want to listen. Oh, come on, a little more rope. What's it going to hurt? We're just having some fun, God. Let us have some more slack. Well, all of a sudden, they're no longer in the placid waters and little rougher waters, but now they're in the white water. Okay? All of a sudden, they're now in the white water. And God is still holding on. He alone knows the danger. Obviously, they don't. As long as I hold this rope, God yells over to them, there's hope for you. As long as I'm holding on to this rope, there's hope for you. I could pull you to safety before it's too late. But those in the boat, once again, they refused to listen and they objected and they even started to curse God. They insist that he let go of the rope and they will be fine without him. And believe me, there are a lot of people saying that today. I'll be fine without him. And what do they say? They say to God, wow, we have it. This is fast. This water, this white waters, it's just bouncing us around and so forth. This is thrilling. This is the way we like it. And they say, we don't need your kind of help, God. We don't need it. In fact, you are holding us back. You're holding us back. So, quite frankly, what is God to do? You either want him or you don't. You either want him or you don't. There comes a point. There comes a time. And eventually, God literally lets go. And I'm, like I said, this isn't a true story, but it's real true in the way people are acting towards God nowadays. God lets the rope out and it just sings through his hand, following the adventurers, so-called adventurers, I suppose I should say, over the edge. It was their decision. They're the ones said, let go of the rope. We don't want your help, God. And it's not God's will that happened either, not his good and perfect will. They wanted it. They wanted it. He gave them up to a reprobate mind. And that is what Paul is talking about. They were given up to a reprobate mind. Now that is not like Joseph at all. That's not like Joseph at all. Not at all. Joseph was willing to follow the will of God, and that would bring him and his family. It wasn't just him. It was his family. Mary and the baby. It was everybody. Okay? Would bring him and his family where God wanted them to be. And for right now, that was in Egypt. Remember? Herod's men were coming into Bethlehem. They're going to kill all these babies. And before that happened, God said, take the baby and his mother and get. Get. And he did. And he didn't ask questions either. He didn't say, well, how long are we going to be away? Or, you know, all that, you know, trying to figure out God's plan in this whole thing. Just got out of there. Okay? Got out of there. And that is the love of God. That is the love. You see, God had prophesied it. He knew it all along, that the day would come when he would call Joseph and his family back home. The day would come. Remember? In fact, the last scripture I just read to you, out of Egypt have I called my son. It was prophesied hundreds of years before that he was going to have them come back out of Egypt. Okay? Now, we see what I'm talking about here in verse 19. Take a look at this. 19 to 23. Look at this. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel. Now, before it was take the baby, take the mother, and get down to Egypt. Now he's talking to him while he's in Egypt, saying, take the mother, take the baby, and get back up to Israel. Okay? For they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose, and he took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus, a relative of Herod, actually known for being far worse than Herod the Great, if you can imagine that, as bad as Herod the Great was, this guy was known for being worse. And when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of father, in place of, in other words, his father, or some people believe his grandfather, but anyway, his relative, his ancestor. He was afraid to go thither. He was afraid to go there because that Archelaus was there. Notwithstanding, I love that word, don't you? I just love that word. Notwithstanding, right? How often when we try to stand, we're standing against what God says. I mean, just think about it. Be honest about it. Are there any times that where that happens? Notwithstanding. But this is notwithstanding. Without standing. Literally. I know what the word means, but I'm saying, just literally, it says notwithstanding. Okay? Being warned in a dream, he turned aside into parts of Galilee. Joseph did. With Mary, with the baby. Watch this. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth. Now you talk about the mercy of God. Nazareth is where Joseph was from. I mean, initially, of course, he's from Bethlehem. Mary too, as far as that goes. Okay? That's why they had to go to Bethlehem in the first place. All right? But now he's being told to go to this city, and he ends up in a place called Nazareth. You know, it's not like he hasn't been there before. It's not like they haven't been there before. Okay? They were from Nazareth when they left to come down to Bethlehem. But God's in control, and God says, you go to this little town. Okay? That it might be fulfilled, watch this, which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. Who shall be called a Nazarene? Jesus would be called a Nazarene. He's Jesus of Nazareth. Okay? And that's what confused all the religious leaders, because they knew that their prophecies did not say they'd ever have a prophet come out of Nazareth. He's got to come out of some Jewish town, you know, like Bethlehem, for example. Well, Jesus was born in Bethlehem. But then, through this series of events, through this continuing journey, all right, they end up in Nazareth. And Jesus would have that moniker or that label, that name on him forever after that. Jesus of Nazareth. Okay? God was in control, and Joseph was willing to follow. All right? Now, Dr. Donald Stamps, the editor of the New Fire Bible, shares this. He says, from these two warnings of God, we learn that God watches over those whom he loves. He does know best how to frustrate the plans of the wicked and how to deliver his faithful out of the hands of those who would harm them. Amazing. Amazing. They end up in Nazareth, and now he's going to be known as the Nazarene. Now, that's going to be important. I'll describe that in just a minute. But why be sent in one direction, like Egypt, for example, and then end up backtracking? Why do that? Why go down to Egypt and then come all the way back up? I mean, why not just stay in Egypt? You're already there. You probably had an apartment. Maybe you bought a house or whatever, you know, because we don't know how much time this is all taking, okay? My son Joel wrote on this in the Advent devotional booklet that we just had this past year, Miracle of Redefining Christmas, God's Way. And in it, he quoted Matthew Henry, the great commentator of yesteryear. I mean, he goes back a number of decades. In all our movements, now this is what Matthew Henry said, in all our movements, it is good to see our way plain and God going before us. All right? We should not move one way or the other without order. In other words, did God tell you to go in that direction or not? He went down to Egypt, but now he's being called back. Why do that? You know, why not just live down there? I mean, it'd be safer, it would seem. You know, you don't have Herod's family out after you or whatever. Well, Joel went on to say in that devotional, he said, detours are often inconvenient. We want to just go to the destination and not be interrupted. But detours actually often shape us, and they teach us to trust in God. And that's exactly what would happen for Joseph, okay? Parking the family eventually in Nazareth, after all is said and done, would be a challenge for everybody, really. You know, going back to your hometown, you know, where a lot of people were gossiping in the first place because, you know, Mary's pregnant and she shouldn't be, and, you know, and all this stuff. It would be a challenge for everybody. But I want to suggest to you that it would be a greater challenge for Jesus. Okay? During Jesus' ministry, okay, one of his own disciples, a fellow by the name of Nathanael, would ask a fellow seeker, a new follower of Jesus. They're not official disciples yet, but an official fellow seeker. Okay? He was seeking Jesus, seeking the Messiah. And his name was Philip. So Nathanael comes to Philip and asks, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Because Nazareth was known for being not a great place. Right? Rebellion, people against, you know, fighting against Rome and subverting the stuff that's going, you know, Galilee was just known for that in general, but certainly Nazareth was known for it. And that's when Philip said unto him, come and see. Philip knew not to argue the point. He knew not to, you know, delve into it and, well, this and that and something else. No, he just said, come and see. You want to think no good thing can come out of Nazareth? Come and see. And throughout his ministry, watch this, Jesus would be bucking the negativity of his supposed origin. Like I said, the religious leaders thought, well, he was born in Galilee or in Nazareth, and he wasn't, but that's what they assumed from where he lived. So they said he can't possibly be a prophet. He can't possibly be someone we're supposed to listen to. Because no good thing comes out of Nazareth. No good thing. No prophet in our own religious circles can come out of Nazareth. So it was his supposed origin. Because he was living now, from a baby up, he was living in Nazareth. Okay? And a lot of people probably assumed that's where he was born, but he was not. Okay? It's crucial. It's absolutely crucial. This is the true love of God. And especially as we see it get closer and closer and closer through, you know, we're coming out of the Christmas season, we're going into Epiphany, and then we go into Lent, and where are you going with that? You're going to the cross. Amen? You're going to the cross of Calvary. I got one last illustration, and I want to close with this. Okay? I remember a story about a young boy who was taking piano lessons in his own town. His mother encouraged him on the journey of practicing, you know, practice, practice, practice. Okay? Hoping that he would enjoy it more and more, because, you know, it can get probably pretty boring. Okay, the scales, you know, and so forth, and you got to do over and over and over, and you know, maybe he would end up giving it up, and she didn't want him to do that. And then all of a sudden, one time, that there was a world-renowned pianist that came to their city to play in their concert hall, as meager and as small as it was, and the boy's mother took him to the concert. She thought that it just might influence him to continue loving the piano. It was very important to her. She really wanted him to continue with the practicing. And as the crowd gathered that evening in the concert hall, awaiting the performance, that boy wandered up onto the stage in order to get a closer look at this big, shiny, grand piano up on the stage to see it up close. And then quietly, he actually climbed onto the, you know, not knowing he wasn't really supposed to, okay? He climbs onto the bench, the piano bench, and starts to play. And starts to play, of all things, chopsticks, you know? You know, I don't know how the tune goes exactly, but you know what I'm talking about. You know, that kind of thing. Okay? And the murmuring crowd hushed. You know how it gets murmuring when you're waiting for something to start. And everybody's talking, and it's like murmur, 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 murmur all over the place. And all of a sudden, they hushed. They stopped it. And then they began to get bugged. They started to protest. Get that kid down from there. Who does he think he is? Where are his parents? You know? Get that kid away from that piano. The great pianist, he heard the commotion from backstage, and he quietly came up behind the boy. The boy didn't know he was coming. And at first, he reaches around the boy, and he joined the young child in his simple song, Chopsticks, dun, 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 you know. But soon, the pianist was adding choruses and more depth to the song. Okay? A lot more depth. Made it wonderful. And the whole time they played, he whispered into the boy's ear, "Don't stop. Don't stop. Continue playing. Never quit." That's what he told him. And he told him that more than once. Don't stop. Continue playing. Never quit. Now, I want to suggest to you that that's pretty good advice for every one of us. They're trying to figure out, how are we going to get away from Christmas? How do you move away from the manger? How do you get away from a town filled with dead babies? How do you go on to the next thing? What is the next thing? What is the next thing? You come into Epiphany. That eventually leads into Lent. which eventually leads to Good Friday, which eventually leads to Easter. So the good advice is just this: continue the journey. Amen? Continue the journey. I mean, Jesus did. Can I just add that? Jesus did. And he got lambasted with the title that he's from Nazareth. And that allowed people to just ignore him. Yeah, he can't be a prophet for us. You know, everybody's got to come from one of the Jewish towns. Can't come from Nazareth. God's advice to each and every one of us is continue the journey. Amen? Continue the journey. Lord, we want to thank you, dear God, that you have called for us to come past Christmas, even today, to come past Christmas and watch this young family travel around and take up residence in a place that would cost them all pretty dearly. And I want to thank you, dear God, that you know the way. Praise God, you know the way. We don't have to ask you, do you know the way, God? Yes, he knows the way. And he is willing to take you by the hand and continue the journey. Never quit. Never stop. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you are calling for each and every one of us to just keep moving along. Hallelujah. Just keep moving along to the glory of God. And we pray this all, dear God, in Jesus' precious and holy name. And we thank you. Hallelujah. We thank you. Amen.